DG and everybody else, and members, welcome. We had called this meeting. It's one of those regular meetings. It's not any extraordinary meeting. You know, you hear people out there, especially in the media, you know, the minister is, you know, forced to come here as if it is a special meeting. It is not. It is a meeting that takes place this time around in the year, wherein departments present their budgets and strat plans to an extent that the executive and also the accounting officer is present. We don't see the deputy minister, which is quite unfortunate, because we had insisted that the minister, the deputy minister, and the DG come before us. We shall indeed, you know, we'll have to be keen to get a sense also why the deputy minister is not here. It's because we hardly see him in our midst. If I'm not mistaken, I can't remember how much time or how many times he came here. To my recollection, I think he must have come here only once, if not twice, since 2009, which easily gave me a bad reflection on his part. We have an agenda before us, and that agenda only speaks to two main areas of interest. The one area relates to the department's annual performance plan and also its budget. The other area, which is number two, relates to the Marine Living Resource Fund, the same annual performance plan and also strat plan, I mean the budget as it were. We cannot begin to start with this, I mean with this meeting, you know, without having firstly to congratulate friends of Van Dalen. Zimbabwe celebrating its Freedom Day today. Members, we thought we should also indicate one area that, you know, seemingly has brought so much attention also to this meeting. That we have had so many people having demonstrated their interest to come to this meeting. You know, I had one interview this morning with one local radio, Cape Talk. Morning, Sam. And also SAFM. The role of researcher in our committee, because what has become very abundantly clear is that that interest has literally been aroused by that role of the researcher. To an extent that role is played, it borders heavily on the political space, casting serious aspersions on a number of political areas of interest that reside here with us as members of parliament. That is that of having to technically give us an indication as to what is happening and what is not happening. To an extent that the researcher can say in no uncertain terms, the fisheries division is in the wrong hands. It's a political statement. That statement belongs to us as members of parliament, not to a researcher. And there are many other statements that have been said by the researcher in question. Now that rule will have to be further scrutinized as we leave this meeting. We meet ourselves as management committee. So that rule is to be defined in accordance with the support that it serves to the committee. The research cannot therefore be a law unto itself. If a researcher has to make any specific opinions, those opinions must be made in their own individual capacity, not on a letterhead of parliament. So I thought I should make that comment as we begin with our session, because it has indeed caused a lot of harm than assisting us in doing our work. And I must also mention, members, that we are at a time where it is election time. I speak openly about these issues so that I don't mince my words as to how we proceed going forward. I thought I should make that comment. As I said, there is a discussion that does not belong here, but one thought that because of what it has done, one should make that comment. And as I said earlier on again, there has been so much interest aroused out of that report. There are apologies that have been made, presented. It is an apology by Honorable Tebekulu and Honorable Gayla. The members, I'm sure, will find us on the way. They are indeed on the way. Having said those few comments, therefore, without waste of time, we shall allow, given the short space of time that we have for this very important engagement, the Minister and the DG to take us through the strat plans and the APPs, the APPs and the budget. Are we fine with that? Okay, Minister.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, the acting DG, Mr. Ntombela. Since you have lost Mr. Dean, Mr. Mortimer Manya has joined the department as the DDG for food safety, and I'm convinced that his prior experience will stand him in good stead. Before we do the actual presentation, I'd like to preface the presentation by saying that there are various recommendations we are making to government and to various structures on how we will revitalize South African agriculture. We are saying that there are certain short-term quick wins that we need for agriculture and a long-term agricultural sustainability plan that is also required. Why we are saying this is that despite its declining share in the economy, agriculture is still a significant primary sector of the economy, and I'm just going to first focus on agriculture. But it is a precarious sector subject to the widest range of risks. The recent increase in the minimum farm wages poses additional threat to the sustainability of the sector across the value chain. And we are calling for critical intervention to intervene in directing support mechanisms to cushion farmers and ensure farm workers or farm communities are not left destitute. We believe that if we do not have this intervention, a number of people in our sector will be left destitute. But we believe that this opportunity presents us an opening for government to provide some intervention mechanisms. Our belief is that there's structural changes required in the sector, and that what the sector is experiencing now is not a us versus them or farmers versus farm workers, but it is an indication of a structural shortcoming which we are experiencing. And some of those shortcomings that we are experiencing is the declining number of commercial farmers, farmers are consolidating enterprises to maximize profits. There's an aging farming population, struggling smallholder farmers, limited support, and also diminishing agricultural skills. And right now, our sector is primarily influenced by market forces of demand and supply, which tend to be brutal to farmers, especially smallholder farmers. Vulnerability to food insecurity is increasing, and farmers and agribusinesses are consolidating and integrating to maximize profit. Small-scale farmers are left out of the agricultural mainstream. The further risks are exacerbated by macroeconomic challenges, the credit crunch, where credit is not readily available, the international recession, exchange rates, but the three areas which farmers have very little or no influence over is the high energy or fuel costs, the high cost of electricity, and the over 50% increase in the wages or salaries of farm workers. Mr. Tombela will continue into the details of that. So, with a declining net farm income, this is current analysis of the farm income, the increasing debt and liability burden of farmers is showing that the debt burden of farmers is doubled to the income of farmers. So if the debt burden is doubled to the income versus debt of our farmers hardly correlates, then we can understand that there is a serious erosion of capital in the sector, and that there would be a loss or shed of labor if we do not intervene. The interventions which we are requesting is that we look at the green boxes of the WTO. Those green boxes of the WTO allow us to intervene without any punitive measures from the WTO. Developed and emerging economies have continued with agricultural support beyond the WTO, and our withdrawal of direct support to agriculture in various forms, price and income support, has really had a long-term impact on the sector as a whole. The deregulation of the agricultural sector and the abolition of institutional support, like the marketing boards, have further left a significant void in the industry. Our limited uptake of the green revolution has to be improved. We've looked at the support given by other OECD countries, the EU, United States to their farmers, and compared our support to our farmers, which is minuscule compared to what other countries are giving to their farmers. The recommendations which we are looking at is A, looking at the green boxes of the WTO, B, working with the Minister of Finance, see how we can ring-fence funds in the jobs fund, that those ring-fence funds in the jobs fund should then be set aside for the sector. The second one is to look at the youth employment development initiative and how that initiative could assist with the employment of the youth in agriculture. Funding mechanisms, we have already developed a warehousing facility with the land bank in which the government supports the land bank so that it is in a position to offer loans to smallholder farmers at the price of prime minus 3. We're looking to a similar warehouse facility for commercial farmers or larger farmers who are not able to make it at this point in time. We're then also requesting that when it comes to the approach assisting farmers, we should look at a commodity approach, because in certain commodities they will definitely be able to pay the increase in salary, whereas in other commodities it's going to be the increase in salary will have a devastating effect or impact on those farms. The applications for exemption to the Minister of Labour have been very small, surprisingly very small. We thought that there would be a larger number of farmers applying for exemption, and very few of those farmers who applied for exemption submitted their 3 years of financials, which would then have assisted them in qualifying for those exemptions. So we do not have many farmers who have applied for those exemptions, and those who have applied have not submitted their financials. So very few will actually receive those exemptions. Then we are also responsible for support the strategic infrastructure program of the President. We are responsible as a department for agro-logistics, which would be the detailing how government seeks to intervene in assisting farmers through agro-logistics. Transnet has a dedicated team for the first time in 2 years, which just focuses on taking agricultural products from road to rail. We met with the maize grain industry yesterday, and it was very clear that a few years ago, 80% of our grain was transported via rail, whereas now only 20% of our grain is transported via rail. Bringing commodities like our grains back to rail transport would mean that we have to reactivate our silos, since these trucks, the trains, will not be able to run with only a limited number of carriages. So the volume and bringing the volume to those train stations is what government seeks to intervene on. Furthermore, agricultural finance, through the recapitalization program, we've worked with rural development. The process of recapitalizing farms has assisted us in taking farmers from smallholders to becoming commercial farmers. That category of farmers that we have created are also now being threatened by the burden of the increase in salary. So how we assist those farmers to structure their debt is also critical for us. Because the debt burden, we shouldn't see the debt burden as a white commercial farmer matter. the new farmers that we have established as commercial farmers have also not planned for such an increase in salary. The National Development Plan is also not based on figures, the statistics in the National Development Plan on agriculture does not take into account the increase in salary. And I've started engaging academia. Professor Rand, for example, agrees that they did not anticipate such an increase in the rise of salaries of farm workers. We are convinced that we cannot build a successful agriculture sector on the back of cheap farm labor. It is just that you will not be able to do it. So whether we assist farmers to support farm workers or how we support farm workers directly is to, and to which degree we assist them is what we are working through. And the debate led by the Deputy President is running quite smoothly and successfully. The next one will be on the 26th of April in the Durham. And I'd like to invite the members to be part of those debates because they're very critical shifts in the sector that is coming up. Shifts which we would be required to make. Lastly, we're also then asked to discuss at some stage or the other, we are with the Department of Labor, on whether sectoral negotiations happen to be the most effective way for negotiating wages for farm workers, or whether we should have another form of negotiations where, for example, in other industries, there's collective bargaining. We are meeting with a number of farm worker unions as well as larger unions and discussing whether moving towards collective bargaining wouldn't assist us in a bigger way in the agricultural sector. So I'm not going to continue. As we go along, we'll be asking questions and we'll respond. I'm going to stop there and ask the acting DG, Mr. Ntombela, to do the presentation. We are at the level of shortlisting the post for Director General. And the appointment process will take a month so that we're convinced that within a month's time, the position of the Director General will be filled. And I think now we have one outstanding DDG position that has to be filled. It's the one of, you know, that one is in the process of being filled. It is the one of food security. That is the one that's advertised. The one of trading industry is quite far in filling already. We're just waiting for the presidential minute on filling the position of trade. The position of food security was advertised and we're doing the shortlisting of that position. So we anticipate that the last two positions of the top structure of the department will be completed within a month's time. Thank you, Mr. Ntombela. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Good morning, Honourable Chair and members, as well as colleagues. As it is expected, we are here to present our strategic plan for the MTF period 2013 up to 2017-18. The presentation itself is structured in this way. There will be the overview, broad overview and challenges of the sector. Planned policy and program interventions, we'll put those up front and we'll also highlight the alignment with the medium-term strategic framework priorities, government's key outcomes, and the strategic goals of the department that also aligns to those broad priorities and outcomes. The development targets, we'll talk about that. the department's contribution to job creation over the medium-term strategic framework, and we'll then zoom in into the individual programs, starting with administration, moving on to agricultural production, health and food safety, program 3, food security and agrarian reform, program 4, economic development, trade and marketing, program 5, forestry and natural resources management, and lastly, program 6, fisheries management. You recall that with fisheries, there is the Marine Living Resources Fund, which is a public entity in terms of the PSMA, but we are going to make a presentation that covers all those 6 programs. Of course, there's an attachment that we have, which just focuses on fisheries management, but the presentation itself will cover all 6 programs as one. The overview, we're pleased to submit our plan for 2013-14 up to 2017-18, which is a requirement that we need to present that to Parliament. And Section 27.4 of the PFMA requires the accounting officer of a department to submit measurable objectives within the department to the National Assembly, and this is in compliance with that requirement. And the plan complies with the guidelines provided by National Treasury and the Department of Public Service and Administration. The presentation will focus on the deliverables in the, for the MTF cycle for 6 budgetary programs as indicated, which then links up with the allocation from National Treasury. Lastly, the presentation will focus on the annual performance plan of the 6 departmental programs as reflected in Annexa 1 of the threat plan. The challenges in the sector, most of which Minister has alluded to, increasing food prices, the anti-competitive behavior, which also impacts on national food security, the broad sector is growing slower than the rest of the economy. Minister has indicated that with persistent low levels of employment relative to the rural population. Both the agriculture and forestry commercial sectors increase the efficiency of production, resulting in increased production despite decreases in areas under production. The increase in production costs in agriculture, particularly inputs like electricity, labor, ministers talked about that, and fuel, squeezes profit margins of farmers and thus making farming less viable. This situation might lead to several farmers leaving the industry and thus loss of hundreds of jobs, as well as putting food security of this country under serious threat. There is inadequate extension services, especially in forestry and fisheries. We also have a challenge of declining fish stocks in certain sectors of fisheries. The climate change and increased loss of agricultural land to mining. We have talked about the challenge that we're seeing in Mpumalanga. We are losing valuable agricultural land to mining, and other developments like housing and industrial development. Those also pose serious threats to production and productivity of the agricultural and forestry sectors over the medium to long term. There's also the challenge of profitability has increased, but at slower rates, and is attributed to a concentrated few that have been able to survive global markets and financial challenges. The profitability of the fishing industry as determined by factors such as the international prices, exchange rates, fuel prices, quota allocations, and the actual biomass of fish present. There's been a significant increase in the concentration of the commercial sector. As a result, smaller and less efficient business, unable to take advantage of increasing economies of scale, being forced out of the sector. There is also no guaranteed market for products produced by small holders. We are attending to that challenge. The transformation in the sector, in all three sectors broadly, agriculture, forests, and fisheries, remains a challenge with transformation not having significant socio-economic impacts. Resource management challenges relating to subsistence sector and enabling framework to increase production and sustainability. Policy and program interventions. If you look at the 12 key outcomes and delivery agreements with DAF, DAF contributes to three of those, and its outcome four, which relates to employment and job creation and an inclusive economic growth. Outcome seven relates to rural development that contributes to food security within the country. Outcome ten relates to enhancing environmental assets and our natural resources. There is a link with the National Development Plan, which requires that 643,000 direct jobs and 326,000 indirect jobs in the agriculture, agro-processing and related sectors by 2030. There's also a link with the New Growth Path, which is a very strong link, which identifies agriculture and agro-processing, including rural development, as a key job driver. There's also a link with IPEP. Now we have IPEP 2013, which relates to agro-processing. And linked to that is also the National Infrastructure Plan 2020. CP11 Minister has alluded to that one, which focuses on agro-logistics and rural infrastructure. CP11 aims to improve investment in infrastructure that supports the expansion of the agricultural production and employment in small-scale farming and rural development. We have an extension recovery plan which relates to creating a national policy on extension and advisory services. There is the national mechanization program which we have presented to Parliament some 2 to 3 months ago. Inland fisheries, agro-ecological agriculture. We are in discussion with the FAO and other partners for assistance in implementing a strategy that relates to this. Supporting labor-intensive commercial agriculture. We intend to develop a policy to render greater targeted support to those commercial farmers at the smaller end of the commercial spectrum. Urban agriculture, we're going to have a focus on this to create an encompassing strategy on urban and peri-urban agriculture. Increase the number of smallholder farmers from 200,000 to 250,000 by 2014, our target. As a result of continued success of commercial farming, the number of employees in commercial farms should rise from 780,000 to 800,000. The aim is to place 300,000 households in smallholder schemes by 2015. 145,000 jobs in agro-processing by 2020, 5,520 jobs in community work program, and rehabilitating 32,000 hectares of land, and also recovering, targeted fish stocks, focusing on abalone, hake, and West Coast rock lobster by 10%. Coming into programs, this slide here is just an indication of the alignment, taking our six strategic goals on the far right of the slide, which is increased profitability, profitable production of food, fiber and timber products by all categories of producers. You see that our strategic goal number two is sustainable management of natural resources. Goal number three is effective national regulatory services and risk management systems. Four is a transformed and united sector. Goal goal number six is effective and efficient governance. But all those goals, each of those goals is linked to a key outcome amongst the 12 outcomes that government said in 2010. And then each of those outcomes is an elaboration of the medium-term strategic framework for the government. So that's just an indication of how the linkages are from our strategic goals of the department to say that they are linked to key outcomes and linked to the medium-term strategic framework. The jobs and opportunities creation by Working for Fisheries program, land care program, and refurbishment of Category B and C plantations, just a list of those. For example, the land care program deploys labor-intensive mechanisms with its project implementation under the soil care, fell care, and water care scheme themes. The program is targeting to achieve 874,000 job opportunities, equaling 3,800 full-time equivalents over 4 years. Through the expanded public works program, credit system, an estimated 7,500 jobs are to be created by the department over a period of 5 years. We aim to contribute towards poverty alleviation through interventions that are public-driven, which will provide alternative livelihood options for rural and coastal communities. Working for Fisheries program provides alternative livelihood options for rural and coastal communities. To our contribution to job creation, that is our plans and targets over the MTF and the medium-term MTSF, for 2013 in the land care program, it's 1,100 full-time equivalents, and then you've got the figures for the outer years as well. For the jobs that will be created through refurbishment of Category B and C plantations, the target for this financial year is 2,725 jobs, and another indicator relates to increasing the number of job opportunities in the Working for Fisheries program. The target for this year is 1,100 jobs, and then it increases over the outer years. Coming to program one, which includes corporate services, the chief financial office, stakeholder relations, communication and legal services, policy planning and monitoring and evaluation. If we look at corporate services, we would need to strengthen our human resource management and development to support the core business towards achieving the strategic goals that set. And our approach to this is that, in fact, all support functions in the department would need to view themselves as strategic partners to the achievement of the goals, strategic partners to the line function, in order to ensure that we work together towards achieving the set objectives and goals. Part of this is to improve our ICT capability, to implement our knowledge and information management strategy and system, to improve human resource management and development in order to support skills development, and so on and so on. The Office of the Chief Financial Officer, their broad aim is to improve financial management controls and to ensure effective and efficient use of financial resources within the department. The third program that is part of this, is the stakeholder relations, communication and legal services, to look at issues relating to legislation and ensuring that there is alignment with the Constitution and other pieces of legislation in order to ensure that we improve and stick to the mandate of the department and the sector at large. We, on the communication part of it, we need to align the departmental strategy to the government's national communication strategy and ensure that what government needs to see communicated is actually communicated by the department in alignment with those broader communication guidelines. Part of that is to increase awareness, public awareness on our mandate and services and ensuring well-informed internal and external publics. The next program that still forms part of this of program one, or let me call it a branch, which is part of program one, is the policy planning and monitoring and evaluation branch. Part of that is to improve our monitoring, strengthening policy planning and so on, and ensure that there is alignment and coordination between policy planning and programs and so on. The and also developing a program decision or project decision support management system that we are going to use internally. Commission service level agreements on research and development to the ARC and other service providers in order to ensure that we have the necessary technologies that would support our mandate. Guidance and support research and development in the DAF sectors, monitor, coordinate, and report on targeted research and development programs. Coming to specific indicators within Program 1, I've mentioned the program as a program stroke project decision support system that needs to be implemented. In 2013, it will be designed and then institutionalized in 2014-15 and so on and so on in 2016-17, monitor and evaluate or evaluate how that system works. The policy analysis framework as an indicator implemented, it needs to be updated this financial year and aligned and so on as we move on, and later you know, there would be a review of the framework. The research and development program, which needs to be approved as an indicator, there will be monitoring coordination this financial year, as well, and we should go on as we move on to the outer years. The integrated human resource management submitted to DPSA, this is a requirement that we need to submit this HR plan, for example, to DPSA by 30 June of each year. And then it would need to be implemented as well. In fact, reported on, we need to report on its implementation. Still on program one, improving financial controls, we want to have an unqualified audit report on financial statements again this year, and it's our standard moving to the outer years. We don't want to perform less on that aspect. The review of legislation, as the committee would know, the target for this year is 24 pieces of legislation, which is quite a tall order, and that will go on as we move to the outer years. And the implementation of the communication strategy, we need to refine and oversee the implementation this year and do the same as we move on. the master systems plan is released to ICT, and this year is the implementation, the plan of priority projects of the MSC needs to be approved. Knowledge and information management strategy and system implemented. We need to implement stage one this year and monitor and evaluate as we move on. On resource allocation for the 2013-14 financial year for this program one, an allocation of 663 million is available, and over the MTF period it increases as you can see there. And then moving on to program two, which is agriculture production, health and food safety. The interventions there would need to implement plant and animal production policies and strategies to increase production. The department will work with our stakeholders within the sector to ensure that there are initiatives and interventions to increase production within the subsistence, smallholder and commercial sectors. 1,300 producers will benefit in two animal improvement schemes to improve production efficiency of livestock and address the socio-economic needs of emerging livestock farmers and contribute to their socio-economic needs, improve livelihoods and sustainable agrarian reform. We also aim to conserve indigenous agricultural biodiversity and sustained management of indigenous genetic resources. Conserve and sustain the use of genetic resources for food and agriculture through increased ex situ collections of indigenous plant species. Conserve important agricultural genetic resources, that's also part of it. Improve risk management systems to support production and enable safe and fair trade. Conduct plant surveillance on animal and plant diseases and pests, as well as coordinate animal and plant disease control interventions. Improve early detections and reaction time to outbreaks of plant and animal diseases and pests, which we have from time to time. Improve response to food feed safety incidents and outbreaks of animal and plant diseases and pests. Implement regulatory interventions aimed at ensuring compliance to legislative requirements and monitoring certain quarantine pests and disease statuses in different areas. Minimize pests and diseases entering the territory of the country at ports of entry by conducting regulatory compliance and monitoring interventions through quarantine inspections, surveillance and testing. And still then on program two, looking at the performance indicators, our target, if we look at the number of producers benefiting from animal improvement schemes, the target for this financial year is 1,300, which we're going to maintain through the outer years. The number of indigenous agricultural genetic resources conserved, looking at two animal species conserved, which are indicated there, Afrikaner cattle in the Free State and Zulu sheep in KZN. There's also a target of five land raised crops repatriated in Mpumalanga, and you can see that we're maintaining that over the outer years. The plant surveillance, which needs to be conducted as an indicator, those are the targets. Number of regulatory compliance and monitoring interventions implemented, the targets are indicated there up to 2016-17. The resource allocation for this one, you see that it's 2 billion in 2013-14 because it's compared to the, there are those transfers to ARC and so on and so on. And then it rises over the MTF. And we then move on to program three, food security and agrarian reform. The interventions coordinating the production of food to ensure food security and to ensure reduction of the number of people who are food insecure in the country. There's a program that we're running currently coordinate the support and involvement of smallholder producers within the sector, coordinate and provide support mechanisms to subsistence and smallholder producers to improve production of food, to ensure food security and agrarian reform, improve the quality of education in colleges of agriculture by transforming them into agricultural training institutes. The work is ongoing there, contributing to skills development and improving the skills required by the farming, forestry, and fishery sectors, thereby creating competence in this sector. Looking at the indicators, number of subsistence farmers supported is 130,000 for this financial year, increasing over the medium term. Number of smallholder producers supported, 16,000, and then also increasing slightly as we move on. Increased number of infrastructure anchor projects need to be established, looking at Daung and Makatini irrigation infrastructure projects, looking and into the last performance indicator is increased number of agricultural colleges accredited by the Council of Higher Education. We're looking at Solo or in the OR Tambo district, two in those districts that are mentioned there. And the resource allocation, 1.5 or close to 1.6 billion this financial year, increasing over the medium term. And moving on to the next program, which is the economic development, trade and marketing, the interventions there lead and monitor the promotion of economic development, trade and market access for agriculture, forest and fisheries products, and the transformation of the sector. The development of commodity-based investment plans, organizing smallholder producers into commodity associations, enhancing the efficiency, effectiveness, economy of production, and maximizing economic potential of the sector broadly, enhancing the ability of the sector to maximize job opportunities and wealth creation through the implementation of sector charters, improvement of sector value chains, and SMME support, contributing towards the promotion of sustainable economic livelihoods of previously disadvantaged communities, coordinating the signing and implementation of cooperative agreements, and strengthening regional, continental, and global platforms and government institutions that's more in the international relations and trade area, ensuring promotion and protection of our interests regionally and internationally. For Program 4, the specific indicators, the first one being the number of community-based cooperatives established. We're aiming to establish 9. This financial year, being 1 per province and then increasing to two per province in the outer years. The implementation of the marketing strategy, broad marketing strategy, we need to, in this financial year, institutionalize the aquaculture value chain network, and in the following year, look at poultry value chain network and grain value and the horticulture in the outer year. The agro-processing strategy implemented, we need to support 2 agro-processing enterprises this financial year. And then if I look at the trade development strategy that needs to be implemented, we need to participate in the tripartite free trade area negotiations. In the international relations area, implement in this financial year the South-South Cooperation Agreement in relation to BRICS group of countries. The resource allocation, 231 million this financial year, increasing over the medium term. Program 5, Forestry and Natural Resources Management, the interventions there, protecting and coordinating the rehabilitation of degraded indigenous forests, woodland, and agricultural land, and ensure sustainable management of forestry and natural resources. There is another intervention for rehabilitation of 32,280 hectares of rangeland,
and so on and so on, supporting 1,000 drivers for growers with capacity building interventions, including technical advice, training, and development. And the fourth one, the department will work with stakeholders within the sector on initiatives and interventions to increase production within the subsistence of smallholder and commercial environments. We need to, as a strategic intervention, also implement the forestry sector charter undertakings in the value chain. We need to refurbish and maintain smallholder government irrigation schemes. We also need to develop, implement, and monitor disaster risk reduction strategies, climate change adaptation, and mitigation plans. The specific performance indicators, the first one being the number of small producers supported, 1,000, you need to want to sustain this over the medium term. Increased number of hectares on irrigation schemes, revitalized 250,000 hectares this year and increasing as we go into the medium term. Increased number of hectares rehabilitated, the figures, 32,000 and increasing over the medium term. The fourth one, climate change adaptation and irrigation and mitigation plans implemented. For this financial year, we want to develop and submit a climate change adaptation and mitigation programs for approval. The last one, charter undertakings. We want to focus on plantation growth and SME strategies. We want to implement those. The resources, the resource allocation, about 1.2 billion this financial year, and increasing slightly over the next two financial years. Program 6, fisheries, management strategic interventions. The first one, the facilitate investment in production and support infrastructure for aquaculture and fisheries. We want to support, in fact, relating to that one, the launch of the of an enhancement program that we, the minister and the minister in DTI launched recently jointly in here in Cape Town. Support the development of small-scale fisheries. There's a small-scale fisheries policy. We need to implement that. Advance transformation in the fisheries sector. Maintain the productivity of fish stocks and ecosystems and rebuild depleted fish stocks. Promote sustainable agrarian reform initiatives through the support of fish farms, aquaculture development zones, and hatcheries. We also want to enhance the efficiency and effectiveness and economy of production and maximize the economic potential of the agriculture, forest, and fisheries sector. And fourth, compliance with marine and coastal legislation, ensuring maintenance of optimal level of fish stocks, and so on and so on. Contribute towards the economic efficient and effective use of natural resources in this area. Also want to enhance the ability of the sector to maximize job opportunities, wealth creation, and minimize poverty levels and infrastructure dilapidation. Promote sustainable economic livelihoods for previously disadvantaged communities and rural job creation. The specific performance indicators, fish farms supported, 10 and increasing over the medium term. Depleted fish stocks, rebuilding abalone, hake, west coast rock lobster, and lionfish. We're going to be looking at four sectors this financial year. And enforcement and compliance efforts to combat poaching this financial year. Facilitate approval and implementation of the integrated fisheries security strategy. And the last indicator, increased support to SMMEs within the sector. Allocate 70% of fishing rights in the aid sectors to SMMEs. Remembering that for this financial year, most of the rights, most of them are those that relate to small scale fishers or fishing operators. where most of the big fishing companies are not interested. So that's why it's 70%. It should not be the thinking that all, most or majority of the total fishing rights are going to SMMEs. Just that for this financial year, those that are coming up would be those where small-scale fishers mainly operate. That's why that high target for this financial year. The allocation of 434 million and this year, and increasing as we move on. The conclusion that we're drawing here, we need to intensify our way we work with provincial departments, particularly to increase our oversight of what happens in the provinces, more so because most of the high percentage of the budget that we receive, you know, are transfers that go to provinces, and we need to ensure that that money does what it is aimed for. We are in discussion with national treasuries in order to find ways of improving our control, monitoring, and reporting of how money is spent in provinces, and so that we improve our accounting on that money that lies with provinces. We have made some proposals to National Treasury. We just are waiting, you know, their response. But from the interactions we've had with the DG there, it would appear that we may have a positive response to this. We are also improving on our intergovernmental relations activities. The MINMEX, the MINTEC, and so on and so on. We also are doing this, intensifying our engagement with stakeholders and other government departments. With the government departments, I won't go much, but with stakeholders, we have, and as we had reported before, allocated a senior manager for each commodity group. We are in discussion with key commodity groups, and we've got an open door policy relating to issues that affect them. We've had engagements with the Red Meat Industry Forum. We are now in discussion with the citrus industry over the CBS matter, the poultry industry. So, and we have a delivery forum that Minister chairs. We have a CEO forum where we sit and discuss matters of mutual interest and how government can provide support to our stakeholders in order to improve their profitability and so on and so on. We are also there to support Parliament in including and finalizing the bills that are coming before this committee and parliament. And we also are working hard in order to intensify our oversight work in district municipalities. So that is how we would like to conclude, Chair and Honourable Members. And we would also want to thank Minister for her leadership in this very difficult and complex sector, and also thank Minister for her guidance as we do our work. Thanks, Chair.
You want to conclude, Minister?
Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Members, if you were to go through the Marine Living Resource Fund, your APP and your budget equally, you know, Program 6 almost closely takes you to
that area. Whether we take it as a whole or we deal with this and then perhaps come back later with the other program, sorry, the other APP. Are we fine with that?
Yeah.
Hmm? Okay, members, there is your presentation or submission on the part of the department budget and trust plan. A few errors have been made. Obviously, others are quite straightforward. Others would need some engagement. We have had Minister, I'm sure you, CFO, had and DG indicated to you that we've had some interaction with the Office of the Auditor General, which also was preparing us for the session, almost getting to say to us, in the previous annual report, in the previous plan, these have been the trends. Whether or not there has been any improvement or lack thereof to what currently we have. These are the issues that we also got to discuss and engage with our office. And some of those issues were issues that warranted, you know, a department to respond to. The Office of the Auditor General found themselves in a situation where they couldn't, you know, respond because members would have literally been referring directly to the department on some of those areas. In other words, outside of their scope, as it were, in other words, the Office of the Auditor General. So I'm sure members might also wish to reflect on those areas as well. We welcome the 26th April session. I'm sure we'll accordingly plan so that we are able to interact. We did attempt on two occasions to go to Dudu-Dwaran, which unfortunately couldn't happen. Okay, I think we should appreciate the fact that within a month's time we shall, you know, have the office of the DG position being finalized. I think that's a step in the right direction. Any comments, issues? I saw your hand, Mrs. Nyalungu. Noted, Mr. Abram.
Thank you, Chair. My first question will go to the Minister. Minister, what measures have you put in place to balance both agriculture and mining so that food security may not be under threat? And then the second one is to the DG. You have talked about the master systems plan. As we saw the AG's report here, from the supply chain management until to the material errors in AFF, there is no improvement, including IT. So I just want to check, what are you going to do to improve all this, the system? Thank you.
Mr. Panda.
Yes, I would like to ask, talk about raising farm workers' numbers while insisting on driving up the input cost of farmers. How do you plan to address this conundrum as the two oppose each other directly? If you up the cost, then you lower employment. I mean, it's a fact, and a lot of people have spoken about it. Then you talk about the recovery on page 9. You talk about the recovery of the target of fish stocks by 10%. My question is, how do you expect us to believe you as you have gone back on this plan? And how we will now start off a lower base than the 3% of pristine that was there. It will probably be about 2.5% after this year, and it would take much longer now due to the reckless action and the ignoring the advice of the scientists. So how do you plan to get to a place where we would have been, say, in 2 years' time? Are you going to cut the crazy stocks with a bigger gap in the following years? And then the increase, in page 13, you talk about the increase of the number of job opportunities for working for fishing programs by about 1,100 for the next year. You spent about 200 million rand per year on this, but this only relates to about 5 full-time employments. That would be the 1,100 people would be 1,100 people working for one day. It's not a full-time employment. And in your opinion, is the taxpayer getting bang for his buck, or could the money not have better spent on protecting our marine resources, better from the poachers? This is about a quarter of the amount we would need to replace the Afrikaner, the 200 million rand, as I understand it. Then on page 33 and 34, you talk about enforcing compliance. It's a noble strategic intervention, but I see nothing of the department's observer program, which you, Minister, assured us in this committee last year that it would be in place this year. You now have the added burden of patrolling the newly proclaimed marine protection area around the Edward Islands. How will this affect your operations, and where are you going to get the money for that? Where is all this going to come from? I will just stick to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I will start with the IG report because I think that is the one that we handled first on Tuesday. Chair, and we've asked on Tuesday, and I would like the Minister or the DG, I think the Minister is here, she can answer for herself, because in the DG, in the Auditor General's report, it stated there that insufficient communication between those charged with governance and the Minister contributed to the lack of commitment and accountability. Now my laptop died down. And then they spoke about the link to that is reported information was not useful, reported information is not reliable, material misstatements and limitations in submitted annual financial statements. We've also asked the Auditor General, on meetings with the Minister, and we spoke about the DG availability and change in DGs, if that had an impact on the department. So they said they could not answer, it was difficult to meet with the Minister, and I want the Minister to answer on that. I think it's just fair, now that we have you here, Minister, that you can give your opinion on that. We did have concerns about the fact that we think the Auditor General did not feel that the department is moving in the right direction, although he did mention that certain aspects was good or better than the previous year. I think the concern also, Minister, is when we discussed it in the slides of the Auditor General report, that 99% of the budget was spent last year, although only 51% of the targets were reached. And I think one of the challenges that this committee has, and that was also a problem with the Auditor General, is the fact that although 51% of the targets were reached, there were a whole lot of targets that we said were reached, but it's not measurable. And the concern for this portfolio, Minister, is that many of these things, like for instance SCARF, and I think the DG will know and the department will know, we've been asking questions about cost, mechanization, all these things that actually need to happen on a provincial level.
But we don't get reports, and we can't see progress on the ground. We want to look at the policy and implementation of, does the policy make a difference on the ground? And we want to find out, Minister, from your side, what process can be put in place? Because the only measurement that we will have is when food security increase, when poverty decrease, when more people on the ground have access to food and to cheaper food. And, you know, I know it's a difficult economic climate that we are in, but what process does your department put in place to ensure that we can see that measurable changes from the department side? Then, Minister, I must appreciate the information that you give us here today on the intervention to ensure that farmers are cushioned. I think it's something that we've been lacking and asking for a few years, and we realize that farmers in South Africa is unprotected. We need to look at our farming community to make sure, and if I speak about farmers, I speak about all farmers, commercial farmers, small-scale farmers, everyone. Our farmers are struggling. And it's a good initiative that you're trying to look at all these things. I like the recommendations about green boxes, finances, all the things that you've mentioned. I think, in fact, the DA has been asking for that a month or two ago. We did mention some of these proposals. Then just the DG, I need to find out on the public protector's report, if you followed the recommendations in the public protector's report regarding the repayments that needed to be made and if that's happened. On slide 5 on the presentation, there was one section that spoke about no guaranteed market for products produced by smallholders. It is one of the concerns that we've been having. I know that there is some kind of agreements with Walmart, and it's small and isolated, that's how I understand it, cases. But in most areas, when we visit small older farmers in any province, their biggest challenge is markets. I've asked it last year. I want to find out what is the department doing in accessing markets for small older farmers, because it's all good and well to farm, but if you don't have a market for your produce, you can just as well leave it. And I want to link that to the Masibabisani project. I want to know if that project is continuing. And I've raised my concerns about it last year. I've been to some of the areas where it happened. To me, it looked like a government that came in, did everything, there was no training, no skills, no nothing, and we need to get small-scale farmers and farmers and communal areas involved in that. So what is your assistance on that? Then on slide 7, there was a mention of agro-ecological agriculture strategy that's just been finalized. If we can get more information on that, it would be appreciated. Then, Minister, slide 12, land care. I spoke about land care last year. The concern of land care, if you look at the slide also of land care, it speaks about jobs created. And to me, maybe I'm wrong, but the land care program is not supposed to be to see how many jobs can we create with this project. It's supposed to be looking at rehabilitation of land. And you know, Minister, that in all the areas in communal land, or most of the areas, the land is really degraded. What process are we putting in place to ensure that the land care program is actually focused on rehabilitation of land? And with the rehabilitation of land, obviously, people will have better access to better land to make sure that they can increase their productivity on that area. I've asked a question with the department last year. I'm not satisfied that the land care program is used for the correct methods or the correct reasons. And then on slide 20, program 2, plant and animal health. I've asked some questions to some of the officers around the African war sickness outbreak. I'm extremely concerned on the way we are handling African war sickness outbreak that's currently in the country. I've asked questions, written questions to the minister. I haven't received any answers on how many reported cases. My information on that is that although cases are being reported to the state veterinarian, it is not updated on the program or on the department's website. People don't know how to handle this, what to do about it. There's concerns about the vaccination programs, because in this case, many, many people came forward that did vaccinate their horses on a yearly basis and they are still dying. So if we can get something on that, then maybe, Minister, if you have time shortly to speak about the avian influenza outbreak, that there was a recurrence. I want to find out if the testing facilities where we test the strain is up to date. I've been told or informed that we cannot test the strains correctly. I know of one case last year where people had to slaughter their birds, and only afterwards they realized that, well, it wasn't that strain, it was something else. So I'm concerned about the testing facilities of the correct strain of the viruses. Linked to that, Chairperson, Minister, the OIE evaluation report. I know that it's made available. We spoke about it. Will it be made available? Will we be getting copies? When will the information go back to the stakeholders and other people? People are waiting for that. Also, with the same with the foot and mouth outbreak and the fact that the OIE has now turned down our application, people are waiting for that. The industry said they were ready to assist the department, but if they don't know what the reasons were, it's very difficult to respond to this. And then, Chair, I've asked...
You think the last one?
With the OVP meeting, I've asked Dr. Cornelius for the report on the Rift Valley fever. He said that he's going to meet with the industry in the next week or two. It's now 2 months later. We haven't seen the report. It's very difficult, Minister Adichie, to deal with animal health and plant health in the country if reports are not coming back from the department. People don't trust the department. People don't know what's going on. And if we keep these things under the carpet, this will not change. So if I can just ask can do that. I will stop there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Banga, Mr. Stein is not going to be your hero or example.
No. I might do better.
You can switch off, Mr.
Thank you, Chair. I think I must say, firstly, say thank you for bringing the minister in front of this committee. I must appreciate that, because it's very important. It's been a long time after there's been this hullabaloo in the country, in the crisis in relation to agriculture. Therefore, I must thank you. The first thing on page 4, Chair, relates to the issue of the contribution, the slow pace of contribution of agriculture, forestry, and fisheries to the country's economy. I must firstly say, to me, this is an indictment to us, the majority of the people who took over this country, to liberate those who are poor. That when we are in control, the most important sector that's supposed to feed our people makes this kind of contribution in the economy of the country. Meaning, we have reversed agricultural production in this country under our own hands. Meaning, when you open this document in this way, it just closes everything that I'm going to say. Meaning, we are in crisis as a country in as far as agriculture. It's an admission. This Chair, fortunately, you were in that conference, the Global Conference on Wheat and Food. It was confirmed that South Africa is at the lowest point in Africa. In countries such as Egypt, Kenya, and Nigeria. Most of these countries had political instability. That our contribution to food production is at a very minimal scale. We are not even counted as countries. And it's an indictment to a country like us with resources. Amongst the things that people mention and research mention is lack of vision and decisiveness. You can hear on what even the DG is saying. It's just, it's taking us through navigation. It's just, we're using a navigator looking for a street that we cannot find. Meaning, we are, the things that the DG is saying, last year we're sitting like this, they're not new. The same thing is like taking the same document and bringing it again here. Because there's no actual tangible targets that we are saying we're going to achieve. It's just continuous rhetoric. I've been sitting and listening, having read this document. And it's an indictment to us. I think the minister, we should continuously make her account. Because President Jacob Zuma, put it very clear on how we should place agriculture in terms of transforming society in South Africa. And unfortunately, I continue to say, I don't think the issues that President Jacob Zuma put on the state of the nation are taken very seriously by the ministry. And their ability to implement what the president is saying. Because one thing that president and the National Development Plan lift up is the role of agriculture in intermitigating the challenges that face our people in relation to poverty. But the department agrees and says, we are not making an impact in terms of addressing that aspect. If I was the president, myself, the minister, Tina Joman, in terms of the national priorities, was not going to be sitting here today and accounting. Because she is not in line with what the country wants to achieve and what the president, as a performance indicator, has put, meaning you have not met it. The crisis just generally, to a layman point of view, and I want the minister to respond, because I'm just going to be just open about things that we're not open about. It shows that we are not hands-on into the problems in agriculture. The minister, she is not hands-on to the problems that we are confronted with. And she must be made to account about the problems we are confronted by us on behalf of our people. And it's for the first time that she sits here. And our people have been commenting alone without us saying. As parliament, she must account to what extent is this department going to change from what it is today. One of the issues is on page 12. They told us yet last year on targets on creating jobs. Now they have another vision to say that they were going to create jobs, 874,000 for a period of time. But to what extent have they achieved the last target? We're not told. It's another navigation, but the past and what they promised, we're not told. Page 12. On administration, Chair, in the last meeting, I want to say it in front of the minister. I said, congratulations to this other lady, Sue Middleton, something like that. Last meeting, I said so that. I said this in the Department of Education yesterday. There is what they said when we were asking about how they deal with disciplinary processes. They said, they finished their disciplinary processes within a period of 90 days. And I said, please, Director General for Education, I want you to go and mentor Director General for Agriculture and the Minister in particular. I asked him, what are the reasons? He said, you know, when we charge an individual, we are sure from the beginning of the charge that when we table to them, that they hold water and it is a winnable case. And it favors cost as government in terms of having people who stay longer period of time without being proven guilty or charged and taken out by government. We must discipline officials, but we must do it in a way that we do not abuse or be seen abusing our authority. Therefore, those officials who stand for themselves, I commend them.
because there's an element of abuse of power which has been very clear in this department. I said it last year in my budget speech that we'll never find good performance. The Director General puts here that we want to create an organizational performance and culture. How do you create it in an environment where all the time there are guns of suspension in executive management and mid-level? Who's going to perform? Because people are scared. Now, the culture in which we create, how do we reverse that at DG when you have more actors and acting individuals in capacity with no full-time staff? The problem of acting director generals, long as Zinta was here, when I arrived here, he's gone, was gone within 6 months after we voted a budget. We never told what happened to Langazit. And we prayed as South Africans. And we must be told. South Africans should be told, Chair, if the director, acting director leaves tomorrow, what were the reasons? Because they pay. It's us who pay for the money. We can't allow ministers to abuse power, take people in and out. Our responsibility as Parliament, Chairperson, is also to defend, because these people who are sitting here are citizens. Can't allow one individual just run our country as if it is his or her own country. This department belongs to people of South Africa. Our duty, your duty as a chairperson, is to make sure that there's no abuse of power. Therefore, that case of this Mrs. Sue Middleton is an example and a reminder. That's why we must get an answer. Why they have been director generals in and out, not ministers in and out? I think even the president must ask him. If there are director generals in and out, there must be a minister in and out. Meaning, maybe time has come that a minister Tina Chomal must ship out. Did you speak about MNE? This MNE system, I asked this thing last year, MNE, monitoring and evaluation system. Want to improve monitoring and evaluation system. You don't even tell us how, because you said it last year. It's the same thing. Every department talks about MNEs. We know we must improve that. But the problem that we are confronting, starting from legislation, you are unable to monitor anything because there is no leadership, either from the executive management because of instability and to the minister. The report of the Auditor General picks this thing very clearly. The Auditor General said, Minister, because of your inability to get guidance also from us as Parliament, that the Auditor General himself does say that what we lack, why this department is like this, is because we lack monitoring and compliance by the department on laws and regulations. It's your duty. It's the duty of the minister. Where are you when we have to lack that? Meaning you are not there. And then Tinong should accept. We must admit, we said even in the meeting, that the minister made us to fail to do this task. Because it was a task of oversight. For 5 years, Mr. Abraham said, we have failed to take this department and make it account every day. But it has degenerated to a level that we have reached the end of the term and things are asunder. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. And unfortunately, we cannot be rescued. Chair.
That is your last point.
Yeah, this is the last one. The fisheries, marine vessels, the DDG promised us. It's so painful. You see, I asked this issue to President Jacob Zuma, and unfortunate, and it scared me, because honestly, the president was responding to a question.
And let me ask you, assist you, Mr. Panga. You're struggling very much on annual report and very little on what you are doing currently. If you are to listen to yourself.
Yeah. I'm talking just to I need to be heard. The minister will help me and say you are not. But we need to say this thing. I want to say this the last time, because it's part of the strategic planning. If I say we are going to improve our capacity for fisheries management and development, meaning I'm in track, because it's a navigation. They are showing us the future. They must assist me whether I see it. It's their responsibility. Please, Chair, allow us. It has been a long, long time that we wanted to raise these issues. This must be the last time that we are raising. On behalf of the people of South Africa, please, can I finish this other part? And then if I'm wrong, they will help me, because I'm illiterate on this thing. I'm just an ordinary member of parliament who want to know. Lastly, we promised, as we are improving DG, our fisheries management strategy, but our marine reserves, monitoring reserves, are not failing. And we're told by March they will be failing. That's why I'm saying, Chair, I'm saying this thing, because I don't trust what has been said, that it will be done, because we've been receiving promises. And I believe that the problems we have, the minister is not escalating them to cabinet and to the president. The president is not well aware of what is happening in the agriculture and the crisis we are facing because of Minister Tina Chuma. Thank you very much.
To understand, Mr. Banga, perhaps for future as well, you see, you kept on talking about the crisis, without getting in and delving into the nitty-gritties of that crisis. And the last point I was making earlier on is, you see, we're dealing here with the annual performance plan.
Yes. I'm
trying to ask
Chester, can you give because I'm not asking you this, Chester, this question.
No.
I'm asking the ministry.
Can you
not be defensive?
When you talk.
Because if you want to listen to me when I talk. Want to me to say this is a chaos, this is chaos.
No. That's not how it goes. Yes, Mama.
No, Chester, we won't allow the dialogue between the two of you. Thank you.
What we want to do here, we want to assist each other, which is what I'm trying to do. For us to be able to say we are addressing this issue, I'm equally saying let us equally listen to each other when we make inputs that relate to annual reports. Well, the bulk of what we are talking about here, they relate to that. Granted, as members of parliament, we are free to talk on any subject. We are free to do that. But equally, we must be guided. You've said it yourself that we are new and we are illiterate and so on and so forth. Whether that is correct or not is something else. But I'm here to guide. That's all what I'm here to do. Mr. Abram?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I want to thank the presenters for the presentations. I just want to respond to a statement which you earlier made that a document that was prepared by parliamentary researchers had found its way in the media. It's an internal discussion document as far as I understand it correctly. And it should not have been in the media at that stage before it is discussed by us. So I would say, Chairperson, that it is important to find out how did it get to the media and who got it there. Chairperson, I want to tell Mr. Ntombela, the acting DG, that when I look at this document, the strategic plan, The way I see it is that it is a GPS. You've prepared here a GPS. You want to try and attain certain things, and you are giving certain time frames in certain instances. But we must all remember, Chairperson, that you can have the best technology in terms of a GPS. That GPS will only guide you where to go to, but there is a human element involved that has to take you to where you wish to be. It has to work that technology. And the problem with the department, Chairperson, is that we are lagging behind. when we come to that human element. And Chairperson, some great people have said that the absence of criticism is the biggest danger to democracy. And my job is, Chairperson, to see that the people of South Africa get the best service, that this particular sector thrives, that it continues to see to food security in the country. That is my GPS. Now, Chairperson, the first problem with the department in wanting to attain these objectives is leadership within the department. And I'm saying, Chair, that this GPS, you will not be able to reach the destination that you wish to reach unless leadership in the department is, on the one hand, where you replace actors and you bring in a permanent staff. And staff which feel, where that human being feels that I have a job to do, and that staff puts in everything into it, and that staff do not have to look over the shoulder all the time. There are guidelines, and they must carry out those guidelines and see that we perform optimally. Now, Chairperson, that is the core problem, and my questions now come. For example, Chair, in the 2012-2013 financial year, the department suspended the fisheries charter with the intention of developing fisheries codes. Now, what happened, or how far is this process, as it is not in this year's financial year's strategic plan? Don't see it there. The GPS hasn't got it. As far as forestry and natural resources management go, Chair, the department asserts that approximately 70% of land in South Africa is degraded. Of the degraded land, what proportion has the department rehabilitated since 2009 and 10, a financial year? We wish to have them provide both the number of hectares and the percentage. What progress has the department made towards the creation of 145,000 jobs in agro-processing by 2020, a target that was set in the new growth path in 2010, that's 3 years ago, Chair? We don't see much about it in the GPS. One of the department's development targets is increasing smallholder farmers from 200,000 to 250,000 by 2014. Now, if the department claims, Chair, that there are currently 200,000 smallholder farmers, then it means that you need to create in 1 year another 50,000. The question, Chair, is, and the committee has asked us before, and what we would like to have are full details of the existing smallholder farmers, including how they have been assisted, how much funding have they received, what has been the success rate in each case, and how much will they be spending, the department, in this financial year. You see, Chairperson, when you set a target, and this GPS sets a number of targets, you need to take into account how you have performed in the previous year. And it's not what I am saying, and it's not a thumbs up, but the Auditor General's office that audited the performance of the department last year says that the department spent 99% of the funds allocated to it, and they only performed 51% of the targets that they had set for themselves. Now, Chairperson, that is something that one needs to be very worried about. That you spend 50% of the money, 100% of the money almost, and you only achieve 50% of what you had targeted. Chairperson, there's another problem. And the problem is that the stress plan, as well as the presentation that has been made, talks glibly about a number of things that they will plan for, that they will try and do, and whatever, whatever. Now, Chairperson, remember that this document now becomes a public document, the stress plan. So are the previous threat plans also public documents. They are in the public domain. The question that many people ask is, what is the integrity of all these plans? What is the integrity of all these documents? Must we really believe that these things are going to happen because it did not happen in previous years? I agree with the minister that the agricultural sector is in dire straits. The South African farmer here is subjected to no fewer than about a dozen different forms of taxes, levies, workmen's compensation, VAT, all sorts of taxes. And the life of a South African farmer is made extremely difficult to survive. And I agree that many are leaving the sector. And I also want to say that the targets that we are setting here, I've seen figures here, 643,000 and some other 200,000 or whatever. I am not a pessimist, Chair. I'm a realist. And I want to tell you that you are not going to reach those targets. It's an impossibility. Farmers are leaving the sector on a daily basis, Chair. We have, for example, in the Karoo, in the Southern Cape, I think Mrs. Steyn referred to it, you have the ostrich farmers who used to export feathers, export meat. They are in dire straits today. They claim that they've lost 10,000 jobs and half of those farmers are out of the industry. Now, Chairperson, once you have half of the ostrich farmers out of the industry, in order to get them back and to get them producing, it'll take you another 10 years, Chair, if not longer. So, Chairperson, the agricultural sector, make no mistake, it's not a joke. It is a sector that is dependent, one has to emphasize this all the time, it is dependent on numerous other factors over which they have no control. We have had diseases galore, Chair. We have had the foot and mouth outbreak, which has redlined us as a country which cannot export our meat to certain countries. We are allowing, Chair, in South Africa today, we are allowing, for example, wieners to come in from Namibia and Botswana and other parts, and that is to the detriment of our own industry. I don't say that we need overprotection, Chair, but we need to protect our industries so that our people can at least have jobs. And we see nothing about that, Chairperson, in this stress plan. And that is my problem with it. I'm closing now, Chair. Chairperson, there's another problem. That problem is that the department provides funding to the provinces, appropriated by our parliament. But they have no say over how. We were told bluntly that once we've given the money to the province, we have no control over how it's spent. Now, Chairperson, that cannot be. He that pays the piper should call the tune. I have said here, and we were told, and again I talk of integrity, Chair, we were told over a month ago, 5-6 weeks ago, that within 3 weeks we will have certain responses to certain matters that we had raised. Today is already, I think we are entering the 6th week now. We've still not had it. So you see, Chairperson, makes me wonder whether these GPSs are merely, and I think a member here, Mr. Banga, referred to the fact that last year he heard more or less the same things. I want to tell the meeting here, Chair, I've been hearing this for a long time. And we need to start taking action. Otherwise, Chair, we have become reliant on imports of food in a number of commodities, and that will increase. If we don't take agriculture seriously, take the bull by the horns, forget politics. Agriculture should not have politics, because, Chair, it has to do with food and the future sustenance of a nation. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Abram. We shall have the last two before we quickly break for tea, and then we come back for responses. Mrs. Palliser, followed by Mrs. Toller.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. Chair, I will go to reality then, going to politics, petty, dirty politics. I'd rather go to reality on the ground and zoom in to the poverty area, because I don't have any official data I have to defend. Everybody's doing his work and getting a check for doing his work, including me. To me, poverty comes first, because that is where I live, in my constituency. I will go to the presentation, to page 9. The recovery of targeted fish stocks. Coming to the West Coast Rock Lobster. The Department of Strategic needs to talk to, let me say, Green Scorpion. Because poaching of West Coast Rock Lobster is very rife, especially in your impoverished area where people are hungry. Hungry care knows no recovery. People see food, we're calling it poaching, but people go there to go and take something to eat. I've seen that. I had to go to people with police to go and warn them that if you deplete the stock, you won't have food tomorrow to eat. Let us all be securities of our coastline. We went there to go and talk, but there was a dish full of undersized lobster in the house. And we had to go and take it and put it back into the sea. That is what we have to discuss here. Ways and means of hope and survival, not emotion. Meaning that to address that, we will have to have coastal guards. That's job creation. That's the language. When I go to page 12 of the presentation, working for fisheries program, one would like to see more detail. Where is the program working so that one can be able to monitor the program? Which area, so that one can monitor and add value, not monitor and not having building material to build the program, to grow for more job creation. And then I'll go to page 18 of the presentation. The 24X DG. Also, the act should
listed so that one can sense which act, because I'm very interested in the review of the marine and coastal management. It's for years, even before I was a member of parliament, for years as an activist on the coastal ground, one was crying for the review of the Marine and Coastal Management Act. Even for this branch, that is a department on its own within the department. That's the changes we want to see. If we talk transformation, if we talk single governance, then we must, we can't have a department within a department with one budget. And that is why our budget doesn't meet this target, because we don't talk to the reality issues of the department. Abantu bayalamba, I don't have time to play. Kufatina all these years and we are still dying of hunger. 24 of this presentation. Improve the quality of education in colleges. My contribution will be, we can't talk of colleges. School starts at primary level. I would say, Minister, at cluster level in cabinet, one will have to influence and lobby the other cluster. But really, this needs to be incorporated into the curriculum. Me growing up, I had agriculture as a subject. We had times in the schools that there were vegetable gardens. We grew up with gardens. We grew up with having our own food in our backyard. So for us, that's what we were learning at school made us very productive at home to make our own food. Coming to that point, Minister, I am very aware, talking of land is not in your jurisdiction. Although we are saying we are losing land to mining, it's not in your jurisdiction. It's with land reform in the cluster. So one would say, if you want to make an input, and a relevant input is to lobby the cluster for agricultural land. I'm talking of reality, because in the constituency, we were confronted with the land question of smallholder farmers who couldn't farm on that land because they were threatened by a commercial farmer, an advantaged farmer. I was there. I didn't hear it from somebody. He came with his al-khabir. And I said, no, you must shoot us. But over this land we will talk. Because this is communal land that these people got from the municipality. That's the threat on the ground. And it's not in your jurisdiction. Yes, of the blood race. So the land question is a question that we have to lobby with the cluster to canvass them, to make them aware the importance of agricultural land. Because even in the NDP, very little is mentioned about the forestry sector and fishery sector. There is no detail outlined socio-economic deliverables blueprint in the NDP that is giving us a comfort. But no, at least there is a blueprint. It is there, but it is very broad and it is very vague in terms of fisheries. I was saying this in the cluster, saying this today in the portfolio, because it's a reality and it's the truth. Coming to that, the stress plan must also talk to the infrastructure of Honorable Minister. We must reopen the factories where our people was making a living.
when we grew up. The infrastructure of the factories, and also to lobby against public works because it's not in our jurisdiction. But the factories is on, let us say, to comfort ourselves, state land, because it's in the jurisdiction of public works. We will have to reopen those factories if we want to put meaning to the targets of job creation and transformation. And then if we talk Hubbard, we must also talk the smaller yana jetties for those who can't get the harbors, the access point for your smallholder fishing community. And also, I want clarity on the Marine Living Resources Fund. When was it declared a public entity? Because we need to be taken on board when processes like that are unfolding. Because I'm really confused when it comes to this Marine Living Resources Fund. I would like to know, is it an administrative fund? Is it a socio-economic upliftment fund? Now I want to understand this fund. Koba, I don't want something to be Greek while I have to monitor it and I don't understand it. If I don't understand it, I won't be able to, because there's a confusion here. And it needs to be rectified. And it's not that I'm saying it started with you, Minister. It comes a long way. Me being long fighting for this fishery, I know the background and I see you are the very first minister to adhere and to give attention to the SMMEs, to the people of very first one. To have an ear to listen to the people on the ground of the historically disadvantaged coastal communities. That's the truth. Honorable Minister, transformation needs to be a reality on fisheries and the forestry sector. It is neglected. It is not aggressively transforming, because we are stuck with a scientific information and not taking the scientific information of the indigenous knowledge of those who worked that water and who know, who are on in the kitchen, who are on that dangerous waters of the sea, who really knows which spot is having what species. I will make an example of the steenbrass. Steenbrass species that was taken away from people who were just making a living out of it. That is the issue we must discuss. I thank you, Chair.
Mrs. Stwala, and I couldn't resist the temptation of allowing our elder to be the last one. Mama Phyllis, Ms.
Thank you, Chairperson. During the AgriSA conference, it became very clear when those presentations were made to us that there is this shift from agriculture to mining. Now, this made me very worried, and I would like our minister to explain to us whether is this an agreement, because it was very, very clear that this has been concluded. And as we see those communities that are food insecure right now as we speak, what about the future now of food security in this country if this is going to be implemented? Concerning the report from the Auditor General that showed us those silver bullets, amongst those bullets, there is this one that worries me a lot concerning the targets that are not met, because it has been a trend. Those targets that were budgeted for, we would like to know from the department if, and be reassured that there is a commitment, because seriously speaking, we are just confused at the moment. What is it that is taking place? Is there a willingness to improve this? Because the money that is not accounted for, that was budgeted for, really, this needs an explanation. And also the question of the skills. Lack of skills. We are still, at this moment, speaking of the lack of skills in the department. What is it done concerning these things? Thank you.
Mama.
Chairperson, thank you. And thank you, Minister, for honoring us. Chairperson, I want to start there. With this AG's report, where it shows that in DAF, I can say all I don't know how to put it, there is no improvement, except little improvement in management in HR. Now we are faced with another strategic plan, which the strategic plan of last year was not, the targets were not achieved. Hence we have this AG report. We are very worried about those kinds of things, because now very soon we'll be debating the budget for department, and we are going to pass the budget, whereas we are having these things which are hanging. Targets are not achieved, whereas money is used 99%, but target 51%. And it doesn't tally, doesn't go together, doesn't speak to one another. You know, that is a worrying factor to us. Chairperson, I want to go to page 14 and 18. Page 14, I want to talk about the Chief Financial Office. And on page 18 also, there is an improved financial management control. Whereas in the report of AG office, there is no improvement. And I ask myself that if the office which controls finances, the AG said there is no improvement, and now what mechanism is set in place to guide that office so that that office can take charge of the finance of the department? That is a question which I like to hear. Again, I want to go to page 22. It talks about animals, species, and all these kinds of species. But my surprise, all these terms, department was talking about Ghana for Juridic Home. I thought I will see the continuous of Ghana for Juridic Home, because Ghana for Juridic Home, it means it can't stop at a certain stage. It must continue, because the way Ghana for Juridic Home, this name, it means improvement of our stock, livestock. Now I don't see it anymore. Maybe I haven't gone through this thing properly, but I think it must be at page 22. Again, let's go to page 81. Yes, increased number of tasks. I don't know how are we, department, are you going to do this, minister and DG? Because this report of really the agriculture is shifting to mining. Mining is taking a lot of land. How are we going to increase hectares? Whereas, and we heard that very soon they are going to Limpopo, is where the minerals are there in the western region of Limpopo, and the mining they are prospecting, they are going on and on and on, mostly using the agricultural land. Now, my question is, how will the increase come from? Because we are losing land. Let's go to page 34. I think I'm left with one chairperson. One fellow please. Page 34, I'm looking at the number of fish farms. Even though these things are targets, but they don't have a time frame. And also, according to me, or according to us in this committee, we can see that in fishing we are losing a lot. Now I don't know how these targets are going to be achieved. And you know, while we were there at the global conference, I was a little bit surprised to find out that even Egypt today is doing very well in agriculture and even in fishing. I was asking myself, fishing, Egypt, do they have a sea? And I thought of, they have a big river called Nile. How are they doing good in fishing? And in agriculture, yes, I am a witness. In 2008, while I was still in the legislature of Limpopo, we went there. If maybe we are seated here, we said Egypt is a desert. Go to Egypt today. Go to it. They have to work on that desert. It's all green. And I no surprise when Egypt today is better, is doing better than us in agriculture. Because they are serious about the land. They till the land, you know, they
deleted those heaps and heaps of sand today is all green. My dear minister, if maybe you can just send two high officials in Egypt, even concerning this mechanization. Knife land in Egypt, how do they control them? Because they are using the same method, but not this one of ours. This one of ours, we don't have any control over it. But in Egypt, we asked them, how do we do these things? And they told us, we went where they put all their things after finishing using them. And they even told us who is fixing them. And some other things, when we take the study tour, this tour is not just going to tour. It's to check in other countries which are similar to our countries. So how do they do their things on a daily basis? The problem is that all the time we fight ourselves outside, but when we come in, we don't implement. We don't even take, you know, what we have seen in other countries and bring them in our country so that we can continue doing the good jobs. The lastly, on page 36, but it's not lastly per se, you know, rather for now. is in conclusion, the department is saying they are going to work with the provincial department and to me, this is not something which must be suggested. It's something which must be there. Why? Because a national department is giving provincial department of agriculture money. Since you give them money, you have to follow up. This thing which is lacking in Department of Agriculture, monitoring and evaluation, must happen. Not to give provinces money and say, no, we give them, they must see how to finish. No, since the money is from us, it's money from national department, you must follow up, because we don't have access to the provinces. We have access to you, and we will always be on you. What are you doing with this? What are you doing with this? Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not done. I will be done after.
Thank you, Mama. Just a quick one on my side. The first comment I wanted to make is that I'm very glad that the department consciously take a move that says 70% of any new allocations must go to your small scale fisheries, and I must say specifically black, so that there's no confusion. It is in keeping with a principle that says those coastal communities that continue to struggle, that only live on coastal lines, seawater, so to speak, their lives must improve for the better. That's my understanding and the background to that context. Otherwise, we will find it hard for us to say, in answering a question, why didn't you do it at a certain point in time, when opportunities were presented. I just thought I might wish to start with that one. And the second question that I have is, why is the Deputy Minister not here? The third question, very small questions and pointed. Is there any thought within the department to have one department ultimately in the end? Because you're going to have continuously one department on one hand, fisheries on the other hand, communication, legal, and you can go on and on. You know, IT systems. My interest is to see us going the direction. I guess the question I'm simply asking is, whether is there any thought, just a thought, to an extent, what are we doing about it? Mama has just mentioned Egypt being leading in Africa on aquaculture. China leading in the world on aquaculture. We are saying there is serious depletion of the resources in our country, on our shores. The 10, the 15, the 20 incrementally, I think we need to do a serious review on that one. To an extent, there be a conscious program. I would have wished to see a situation where fisheries branch budget increases instead of decreasing. To an extent, this area being the focal area of increasing quite tremendously on aquaculture development. One other point is being mentioned here about going back to land campaign. Going back to land campaign for me must talk a collaboration between our department here together with basic education department, which would mean to me the primary learners. In like it happened in the olden days, each learner having to have a garden that he is responsible for. For me, that's how it goes. By the time it gets to a high school, already those learners shall have had an experience, and then it continues even at home. The one other point I wanted to ask, I do not see any item, perhaps might belonging to SAPS, the security in the farm. As I said, it might be belonging to SAPS. But it is an area of serious concern for me. When you are going to have an 11-year-old in Yansanville, Mr. Banga, within a radius of about, distance of about 20 meters or 30 at the most, literally being shot at by a white farmer, dead. Asked a question as to why, and the white farmer responds, he thought that was a dog. I'm talking about security in the farm. As I said, not knowing whether it is a matter that only resides within SAPS, or whether the department can also add that as one other areas of interest that the department has to take care of within its own budget. And I must say that case has since been followed since beginning of last year. Last time I heard, sometime in January, that case was still ongoing, but the farmer was out there on bail. Marine protected areas. Granted, here you are hearing that the Environment Department is responsible for all of that. But these are areas I would imagine, in terms of consultation, are supposed to be dealt with together with the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries. Precisely because you're dealing here with a resource other communities shall have been engaging with. And you tend to have your own suspicions as to why those areas from time to time arbitrarily are declared as marine protected areas. Whether that has anything to do with simply shutting out those that shall have been living on those resources for their own day-to-day
survivor. I just thought, let me just throw those few. There are not many, and they are also pointed. The idea perhaps is to for us to go out quickly, and by 11:45 we start. We don't come back, but we start at 11:45. Let's go out and come back quickly. Thank you.
Thank you. other young wooden doll. Do you have a doll sometimes whose name on the track is from Kupan? Do you have a doll?
Good morning again. It is 1 minute after the time we're supposed to start. Shall we? Maybe.